1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 2. There's a phrase I want to focus on a bit today that Apostle Paul used when he wrote to Timothy, and he said almost the same thing two different times. I want to take a look at that today. It's always nice to see visitors. Appreciate you coming out of town. There's a lot of things you could be doing, going to the beach, relaxing, etc., visiting sites, but we're glad to see you here this morning. And it helps to know, too, in that, you know, like he said, brother, forgot your first name, but Brother Scott. Brother Scott's visiting, and it's nice to know that he's a brother in Christ, because then sometimes when you see someone who's visiting, you think, I wonder if they're saved or not. It kind of makes you change your message sometimes. So it's nice to know that we have fellow brothers and sisters here. We can preach the gospel, the grace of God, which we so we focus on that for a reason here, and we're just grateful that everyone understands that. So 1 Timothy 6, 11, and 2 Timothy 2, 22, very similar phrase. 1 Timothy 6, 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and here's the phrase, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And if you look at 2 Timothy 2, very similar phraseology there. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue our discussion. Heavenly Father, thanks for this time together this morning to take a look into your word and to consider what it says. And now what I really like about our messages here is there is such food for thought, and to take these phrases and try to drive them down into our hearts and to take them seriously so that when we walk out of this door, we can understand just a bit more what it means to bring glory and honor to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who you've made the center of all things. Help us to honor him by our time together this morning. Praise in his precious name. Amen. So that phrase, follow after righteousness and follow righteousness, that kind of... Did I turn this on yet? I didn't, did I? Am I going now? I'm not sure. Okay, I think I'm up and running now. It's just a curious way to say something. Follow after righteousness and follow righteousness. Kind of sometimes you'll get a phrase that'll stick in your mind, and sometimes marketing will make things stick in your head, and you'll see people singing slogans from the TV and the like, but I always like when I get a phrase from the Bible stuck in my mind, because I feel like that's time worth spent on thinking about something. Some of these jingles you hear, Super Bowl ads, stuff like that. Here you're focusing on something that makes you really stop and think about, what does that mean? What's going on? And he says, follow after righteousness. And he doesn't say it once, he says it twice. Follow after righteousness and follow righteousness. I mean, just think about that. We have taken a look at many times the idea that Paul talks about the mystery. And he pretty much says it similarly about five different times throughout his epistles, doesn't he? Say something five times, that's a lot. You want to pay attention to what's going on there. He says it here twice, follow after righteousness, follow righteousness. So why do you suppose he said it two different times in two different letters? It's like, okay, you said it once, why say it twice? Obviously an important issue, isn't it? Reminds me of, there's a story when sons grow up and move out of the house, and then the dad will be talking to the son. What does he say to the son? Make sure you call your mother. And the next time, make sure you call. Well, you told me that last time. Yeah, but you have to kind of be reminded of this, don't you? The idea of calling your mom. Don't forget that, boys. When you grow up, sons, when you grow up and have a family, don't forget to call your mom. But the idea here is to follow after righteousness. He says it twice. And notice that in both instances, hold your hand in both those spots there, 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 2. Do you notice another thing that, as Barry said this morning, there's a lot of parallel passages in God's Word, and notice another aspect that is similar in both. 1 Timothy 6, let's see here. It's the word flee. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh yeah, look at 1 Timothy 6, 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And notice in 2 Timothy 2:22, you see that same idea there. Flee also youthful lust. So both of those passages are preceded by this idea of fleeing something. What does it mean to flee?
Run
as fast as you can. But he precedes those phrases, follow after righteousness and follow righteousness, with the idea of fleeing something. Look at the first passage there in 1 Timothy 6, what he's telling them to flee. Make sure I find my... Okay, so when he says flee these things, back up a few verses and let's see if we can determine what he's telling him to flee. Looks like we can go back clear up to probably verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness, so people that think that they accrue things to themselves and that somehow shows godliness, he says, no, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. What's raiment? Clothes. Clothes on your back. Food, got something to wear? Be content with that. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So, the idea of gain is godliness. It's almost the opposite of those who were looking at the kingdom program where it said to do what with all you have?
Sell.
Unload. Why? Tribulation, mark of the beast. Couldn't buy or sell and share the mark of the beast. This is kind of the opposite of that, isn't it? There's people who want to get as much as they can. Just pile it on. More, more, more. It's like, I think the line was attributed to John Rockefeller. He said he was, I think, the richest man ever when you compare how much, or Solomon, I suppose, but in modern times, in terms of how much he accrued to himself. And they asked him, how much money is enough? You know what his answer was? A little bit more. There's never enough, is there? And yet John, when he passed away, did he take a penny with him? No, he didn't carry a thing out with him. Gain with godliness, gain is not godliness. So it's kind of the opposite. You have those two extremes. And take a look at also at 2 Timothy 2 and the idea of what preceded that particular passage. When it says, flee these things, it's not exactly the same thing. 2 Timothy 2:22 does say, flee also youthful lust. You back up into verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and to some honor, and to some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust. So a little different context there, but again, you're fleeing something and then following after righteousness. This verse kind of reminds me of something, a little song that I was taught when I was going to Baptist church for the longest time when I was a kid. And if you look at Matthew 6:33, kind of a similar kind of phraseology. But and we are very quick, and for good reason, to point out differences between what we call the kingdom program, kingdom of heaven on earth, Daniel 2:44, and the heavenly program, heavenly places, the one we're involved in. So look at Matthew 6:33. Did I get the right one there? Yeah, I'm in fire. Matthew 6:33. There's a little verse, and they made a little song out of it. I don't know if you have any Baptist background in you, but it goes something like this. Anybody recognize that song? That's turned into that song? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he is righteous. I mean, it's just stuck in your head. Like, oh, thanks a lot, Brother Rich. Now I have my head the rest of the week. No, the idea there is seek kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek his righteousness. Follow after righteousness. Kind of a similar kind of sound, isn't it? And so you can see how if you don't really study your Bible more than a superficial manner, sort of just a pick a passage and it applies to me, you can get these things mixed up. We're saying there's a huge difference there between what Jesus is saying there and what Paul is telling Timothy. Really appreciate what Barry was saying this morning about the idea of understanding salvation first, understanding what it means to be saved by the blood of Christ, all alone, through faith alone, nothing else added to that, and that's where it has to begin. That's where it has to begin. I was interested in a conversation that my middle daughter Julia had with a friend of hers last week before, and they were talking about some of the modern issues, and that's what John says he's going to focus on at the conference, is modern, sort of modern issues, gay rights, things like that, with the teens, and how that oftentimes comes up between teens. They say, she was talking about how, I can't remember exactly how she said it, but something about gay rights and how it just seemed kind of strange. That was, you know, people, why do they think that's such a great idea? And her friends were contradicting her, say, well, what's wrong with that? And so Juliet quickly was able to turn the question to just salvation, period. You know, what does it mean to be saved? People are going to go to hell if they don't understand the gospel, the grace of God. That you trust the blood of Christ. That's it. Through faith alone in that. And her friend said something very revealing. That's, you know, a pretty common theme, I think, for unsaved people. And that she said something like, well, I don't have to worry about that till I'm 80 or so. I say this is about a, you know, seventh grader thinking that way. But that isn't much different than a lot of unsaved people that, if they really, in their heart of hearts, think about what's coming down the pike, I don't have to worry about it until I'm almost dead. Then I'll change my mind. It's kind of like that idea. Yeah. Wow, okay. That's just not, that's a little too risky approach, obviously. But it just was an interesting idea. That wait till you're 80 to worry about that. Well, we're talking about worrying about it now. Gospel of grace, God would have all men to be saved. Don't wait. You don't know how much. You might not last another minute. You hear stories about people dying when they're youngsters for all kinds of reasons. I knew a family friend when I was probably in my early teens, and she was 13 or so, died of a brain aneurysm, 13 years old. She's gone. And I trust that she was saved. It's hard to tell. You don't know. But it doesn't matter how old you are. Get saved and understand, come to the knowledge of the truth, and then we can talk about following after righteousness, because it makes it sound like righteousness is out there, doesn't it? Follow after something that's kind of out there, doesn't it? Follow after that. And that's the way we talk about the righteousness of God. If you look back at Romans 3, we make a big deal about understanding salvation is by grace, saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean when it says lest any man should boast? What does that mean, lest any man should boast? What do you think that means? How would you? Yeah, there's no possibility for bragging. Like, here's what I brought to the table, and God saved me because I brought my part, and he kicked in. No, that's not what it's saying. You can't boast. No one is going to be able to boast that somehow they got themselves into heaven. It's going to be it's all on God reaching out to you. So this following after righteousness, we have to understand first about initial salvation. And Barry talked about that this morning a bit. But I was talking about being a member of the body of Christ. That issue is kind of always, and the idea of forgiveness and being forgiven by Christ first. Now, I've been thinking about that for a while now, and the idea of, I think people think that when they don't understand forgiveness, they have to ask God to forgive me. That's a pretty common theme, isn't it? The idea of I need to ask God, confess my sin. That's a very common theme in Christianity, but it's one that's very ineffective. It's just on the wrong track. The idea that you're forgiven for all your sins. And it's like to be a member of the body of Christ. You know, sometimes I'll use that phrase, and I'm not sure all the time when I'm talking with Christian friends who don't understand right division, they really fully understand what you're saying. Because we struggle with it. What does it mean to be a member of his body and his flesh and of his bones? Talks about in Ephesians. Like, that's pretty heavy stuff. If I'm going to be made a member of the body of Christ, and of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, we're members of each other, Holy Spirit is inside me, and then if I were not forgiven of my sins, it's like, I think the way sometimes Christians think is somehow that if I sin, then somehow I'm out of the... How could you be in the body of Christ if you had sin to your account? Why would he put you into Christ's body if you had sin in your account? It doesn't make sense. You have to be forgiven of all your sins for him to put you into... Why would he put you into Christ and then you sin? There's somehow that's not... It doesn't make sense. You're tainting the good, so to speak. So the idea you're forgiven up front, you're forgiven, sealed, blessed with spiritual blessings, all that happens at once, and then you start to understand as you go along. You're a member of Christ's body, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, should you keep sinning? Of course not. We talk about that all the time. You put that behind you. You put off the old man and put on the new man. So you understand that issue of being initially forgiven, being made a member of the body of Christ. Look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Look at Romans 10:5. Now, one other part that he says to Timothy there in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is follow after righteousness. He also says follow after faith. Kind of an interesting way to put something, to follow after faith. And those two words both show up there in Romans 3:22. Here you're turning to Romans 10. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 10. This is where we look at it from our perspective. Once you understand the law only condemns you and shows you how you don't match up, and you look at people who think it somehow helps them match up, and you go, wow, that just seems crazy to us, doesn't it? But that's the trick. One of the tricks that Satan uses, one of the diabolical twists he uses to get you off track if you're unsaved and thinking somehow you can match up to God's standard of perfection. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You want to try to enter that contract? You're never going to be able to live up to it, so why bother? Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. So once you understand that salvation comes from the blood of Christ alone, through faith in that, and that the righteousness of God is imputed to you once you understand that issue, Christ forgives you for all your sins. You're placed into Christ. Christ lives in you. Then he tells Timothy to follow righteousness, follow after righteousness. If I'm following after, it's like I'm trying to understand what that means. How do I follow after it? How do I grasp what righteousness is all about? How does it work as a grace believer? How does it work so that it's not me, but Christ in me? How do I understand that phrase? How does that work? I was just thinking, it's a real interesting turn of a phrase. So you start thinking, okay, is following after something, following after righteousness, faith, peace, all those things? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul had a very clear understanding. And of course, as he received revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, it sort of began to be more and more developed in his mind. And that's why, as Barry said, a lot of times we'll take those verses in order as we find a word, and you do a word study and follow along. It's because as Paul's books are laid out, it becomes more and more filled out, shall we say, as a concept. And you get 1 Corinthians 15:10. 10:5, excuse me. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I'm on Romans. I'm doing too much cutting and pasting here on the 1 Corinthians 15:10. Here we go. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God which was with me. When you labor abundantly, what does that mean? A lot. And yet does he say, look at me, look at my how I pulled this off? No, he says, the grace of God which was with me. And he repeats that theme a lot. Take a look at Ephesians 2. We talked about these verses a little earlier. I imagine most of you can quote these verses. By grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, verse 8. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you understand from following after righteousness, first of all, you have to get saved and have God's righteousness imputed unto you. And you, as you follow after, it's as you grow and mature as a believer, it's, I don't know how long I've been saved, I forget how long you've been saved, a long time. You still think through these things about following after righteousness. Okay, I know it's got to be God's grace in me. God's grace that was with me to do these things. Because the minute I try to do it in the strength of my flesh, as Barry talked about earlier, trying to forgive, it's just not going to happen. If you try to do it through your own strength, it has to be something you let the grace of God sink deep in your heart, the peace of God rule in your heart, and you stop and go, man, okay, if that's true, if I have my seat in the heavenly place in Christ, I'm sealed, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings, I have all these things to my account, then how do I follow after what God wants me to follow? How do I follow after righteousness? How do I take that righteous God has imputed my account, how do I minister it to other people? And life will give you plenty of chances to figure that out, doesn't it? When you walk out that door, there's going to be plenty of issues just today alone, much less a month, the rest of your life, to think through how to allow God's righteousness, that standard He has there, how to follow after that. Not have it be a work thing where I'm trying to work. No, you're saved already. You're sealed. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings. How do I take that and make following after righteousness an approach that I take each and every day? You should walk in good works, tells you in Ephesians 2:10. Of course, you're a member of the body of Christ. The way, the motivation that you have, the mechanism, shall we say, that God put in place to do so, it's one based on grace, isn't it? It's not because somehow you're going to get more than you already have. It's to take what you have and serve others with that. And serve your family, first and foremost. Your friends, acquaintances. Take a look at Philippians 3. Following after righteousness. Philippians 3:9. Paul has gone through a long list of things that he thought were of benefit to him. Farther up in the chapter, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks he has whereof he might trust, I more. And he goes down through this long list of things that in the Mosaic law would have been of benefit to you. At least that's what he thought. But then he gets to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having what? Mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, etc. So, we want, when we talk about following after righteousness, following righteousness, it's this righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we've talked about this numerous times, that those verses get changed, don't they? They talk about faith in Christ. It's faith of Christ. If Christ lives in me, what better asset could I ask for? My paltry efforts? No, if Christ lives in me in Galatians 2, why not let Him be the one who pulls this off? Not me. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's the goal we set before ourselves, isn't it? As we study the Word, take God's Word, and you put that in your heart, and God uses that Word to motivate you to forgive and do all the things we do, following after righteousness. You think, man, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of like right now. And I can take that and let that motivate me to do what I got to do to serve my family, just be a good member of the body of Christ. Reminds me of this another parallel, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, similar kind of thing that Barry was talking about earlier, Colossians 3:16. And Ephesians 5:18. And there's some parallelism in that there's a couple of phrases, and then after that phrase you see very similar things said just after those two phrases, and so that's why I call it a parallel passage as well. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And here's the teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See that? So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then if you compare that with Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with the wine, with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's the same part, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, The idea there is that to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is to be filled with the Spirit. So you take God's Word and fill your heart with that. Then that gives you that idea of following after righteousness. You take the standard of God's righteousness, His Word, His Son, put it in your heart and bolster your thinking, and just when you're filling your mind with the Word of Christ, fill with the Spirit. The Spirit takes the Word of God and uses that to motivate you based on grace, like Barry was saying, out of thankfulness. And you follow what God's Word is showing you, who you are in Christ, and that allows you to follow after righteousness in a way that's acceptable to God. Take a look at, I've noticed that this word, follow after righteousness, it's like there's this standard there, and we're always, you know, trying to understand God's Word, and the Word of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We talk about that a lot. And so there's a standard there that God has, and if you look at, keep your hand in, let's do 2 Timothy 2 and I think it's Romans 8. 2 Timothy 2, some of these words that are similar, 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 2 both have a couple of things in common, not only the follow after righteousness, but faith is the word you see there in both. Actually, faith is in fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? So we've got 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to have you in three places. 1 Timothy 6, 2 Timothy 2, and Romans 8. 11. So these are the same two verses we started with. Yeah. 1 Timothy 6, 2 Timothy 2, and I'll try to squeeze in Romans 8. So, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after all those things. 2 Timothy 2. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. You recognize some of those words there? 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 2 Timothy 2, 22. That reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit. Some of those words are similar, aren't they? Well, how do I get the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Where's it going to come from?
Inside.
Take that Word of God and you speak to yourself in psalm, hymns, spiritual songs by letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, don't you? And you're filled with the Spirit as a result, aren't you? Well, take a look at Romans 8. This is another phrase that I just love thinking about because it makes me stop and think, man, how does that work? I want that to work in my life. Follow after righteousness. Look at Romans 8, 1. If I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit, which these words oftentimes are similar, and Barry was saying this morning, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And here's the phrase. I just love how this is, this phraseology. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I just think that's a beautiful phrase. And if you can just meditate on that during the week. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. I'm free to serve the Lord. Free to follow after righteousness. Those are very similar words there in those two passages through the Spirit. And when he says follow after righteousness, it reminds me of this phrase. There's a phrase that Paul uses, the faith. Oftentimes we think about faith, and what do we think of? My faith. And we know we have to have faith in the blood of Christ, don't we? Romans 3 tells that, to be saved. There's also this thing known as the faith. Faith of Christ and all of that embodies. Let's take a look at a few phrases. It's like we've been saying, following after righteousness, this thing's kind of out there, and you're trying to attain to that. Understand what that means? Follow after the things that are the righteousness of God. But the faith is kind of like that too. Look at, I just want to show you how this phrase is used. Look at Romans 1, Romans 14. Because I think people, a lot of times Christianity, we get stuck on my faith and whether my faith measures up and all that, and I've got to ask God to forgive me. All that kind of comes down to what am I doing. And we're constantly trying to point people to the Word of God, rightly divided, and how faith of Christ is what you can rest in. Just enjoy that. Christ's faithfulness to do what He said He'd do, which is establish this body of Christ, make you a member, live through you. You know, let that work in your life and operate in your life. You get Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to what? The faith among all nations for His name. Look how it's used in Romans 14. Romans 14:1. This idea of following after righteousness is a phrase that kind of reminds me of when it says follow after righteousness. Faith is also one of the things He says to follow after. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith. There it is. I think He's talking about the faith. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith received you. Doesn't say it exactly the same way as saying he received him who has weak faith. That's not exactly what it's saying, is it? It's not quite the same. Him that is weak in the faith. There's this body of knowledge that Paul has been imparted and he's imparting to us. The faith of Christ, and all that that means. And you can be weak in not really understanding that. It might be you have weak faith, but there's this the faith that we want to grasp. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good way to put it too. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. And as Barry mentioned earlier this morning as well, the Corinthians were just a mess, but Paul still considered them brethren, and he was encouraging them sometimes very strongly to understand where they were going wrong and how to get it right, how to understand they weren't following after righteousness, how to get back on track. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be where? In the faith. Prove your own selves. So he tells Timothy, follow after righteousness. Make sure I find my... Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, following after this body of knowledge that's been presented to us. Take that and store it in your heart and let that live through you. That's the goal that we strive for each Sunday here. Look at 1 Timothy 3:9. So there's this idea of there's righteousness, there's faith, there's peace. Trying to grasp how those work in your life on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. 1 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 3, verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. And 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what?
The faith.
It's kind of an interesting phrase. It's as though Paul in these two passages about following after righteousness, godliness, faith, peace, things like that, it's as though there's this body of knowledge he's talking about and making sure that you understand that and follow after that. Make that such a critical part of your life. Weave it into all the fabric of your life. Following after righteousness, let it affect everything you do. It really affects every moment of your life. And when it does, and you look back, you go, man, what was I thinking? Follow after righteousness. Latch onto that. Tells it to him twice. Take a look at, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Now, we talk about righteousness and how the Israelites tried to establish their own righteousness. They were out there trying to establish their own righteousness. What did they get? They didn't get it, did they? And we were not trying to establish our righteousness as Gentiles, but what did we get? We got the righteousness of God. It's kind of the opposite. It's like, oh, man, they totally messed up. But that's the, That's the nature of the gospel of grace, that they were brought down to our level. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's presented to everyone now. And if you take a look, where did I tell you to turn? 1 Corinthians 5? 1 Corinthians 1. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. Let's do 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. This is one of those verses you can just kind of go over and over in your head and just go, wow. And never completely get it, because it seems like it takes your whole life to really understand it. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. We talk about following after righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. And sort of a, has a passive type sound to it. You understand, I'm a language arts teacher, so I've got to throw a little language arts in there. Even though it's summer, I'm taking the summer. I've got to get a little teaching into. But the idea of a passive voice. So I could say that Rich lifted the marker. How would I change that to passive voice? Anybody know? The marker was lifted by Rich. It's saying the same thing. It's just like you don't want to go around walk and say, the door was opened by me. I mean, come on, I opened the door. You just get in there. Stop talking like that. But notice how this has kind of passive sound to it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's a lot of what we need, isn't it, to get ourselves to be in heaven with the Lord, is all those things. But Christ is made of God those things. Christ is of God, is made unto me righteousness. It talks about following after righteousness. It says God has made that to Him on my behalf. And if I begin to understand how that works, and the reality of that creeps into my mind, let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly, I walk filled with the Spirit, I understand that following after righteousness, a lot of times it's just understanding what? Who I am in Christ. Who has God made me to be in Christ? If God be for me, nobody can be against me. Nobody can be against me. So I can just, you know, take it down a notch, just rest in God's grace, understanding who I am in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, similar kind of sentiment. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's talking about what God the Father did to God the Son on our behalf. For 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In order to follow after righteousness, just take a look at God's standard of righteousness and how that's been applied to your account, how that accrues to you. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Couldn't have possibly done any of this for myself. I was under sin. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. What an amazing gift that God gave to us. And all of His righteousness, it says follow after righteousness, doesn't have to be something you struggle for, is it? Something you just understand who you are in Christ, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and then you understand, hey, it's really Him living through me as I understand God's Word more and more. We're in a battle, are we not? Dangerous, pitched battle. Doesn't seem like it when you're driving down the street. Well, it kind of does sometimes. Driving home the other day and cars are spinning out in front of us, and wow, people throwing rocks everywhere, unless I am running down the street after me. It feels like, you know, little battles here and there. But it reminds me of, anybody ever watch Get Smart when you're a kid? Yeah. Crazy show. I used to love that show, TV show. And his boss would sometimes say, he would explain to Max this really dangerous mission he was going to be on. Ah, wink, wink, really dangerous. You're going to face chaos, that evil organization out there. And he would tell him, you're going to face danger. They're going to try to stab you. They might murder you. And you're going to be facing danger every step of the way. And you know what he would say? He'd stop and he'd pause and he'd say, and loving it. And so what I think that God's grace can do in our heart, when we understand this idea of following after righteousness and all the things that are in the way, all the impediments, all the conflicts we face while we're here, really the attitude that he wants to leave us with, and we'll try to close on a couple of verses here. But take a look at, let's get Galatians 6 and Romans 15. Now when you think about how difficult life gets at times, there's no doubt, you think about challenges you've faced, challenges trying to raise your family the right way, challenges trying to get the Word of God out when working with friends, as a body of believers here, how much we struggle to keep the doors open and keep preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Talk about following after righteousness. How are we going to do it? How are we going to consistently do that to bring glory to God? But you take a look at Galatians 6, 14. You focus on following after righteousness. It can't be apart from the cross, can it? Cross of Christ. Paul talks about all those things that people try to do to please God, and he says, you know what? God forbid, Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in what? Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If I don't glory in anything else, if I'm going to get excited about one thing, if I had a choice to put one thing on the list, what I'm going to glory in, what's it going to be? Cross of Christ. And when I think about what it means to follow after righteousness, it's all centered on the cross, isn't it? How are you going to get otherwise? You're not. Cross of Christ, by whom my world is crucified to me and unto the world. Look at Romans 15. This is our hope as a ministry. We lots of goals. This is just one of them, but it, to me it kind of summarizes what we're thinking about today in following after righteousness, understanding that God is, we are laborers, co-laborers with Christ, I'm trying to get out there and preach the ministry of reconciliation. And look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of peace, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's my hope for you this week, that as you think about following after righteousness, it won't be some big burden on your shoulders. Because under grace, you know, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Thank God for that. And that next verse says, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. When you hear the gospel, the grace of God, and you believe it, and you make it a part of your just thinking about how you think about life, which I know we all do. And we do, we preach these messages just to keep encouraging you. It's safe for us, isn't it, to keep talking about these things. Let those things dwell in your heart, dwell in your richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just hope that as you go through the week, you think about following after righteousness, and that'd be a phrase that kind of stick in your head, and you go, man, that's an interesting phrase. How do I follow righteousness, follow after righteousness? It's only by God's grace. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Thank God for that. Just hope you enjoy your week. Go out there and follow after righteousness and let the Word of Christ dwell in you rich. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we had together. Really encouraging to see the saints here thinking about your Word, and just so appreciate you giving it to us in our language, inerrant, no mistakes. Help us to just faithfully proclaim it, not only to others but to ourselves, and enjoy the position we have in Christ. And just pray for the saints this week. We think about each other, pray for each other. We're in a big battle out there, but it's not one that we're unprepared for. Thank you for the preparation you give us in your Word. Help us to focus on it. Help us to enjoy our relationship with you each and every day. Praise in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, let's sing one more.